Thank you, Robin. The final set of news stories for today's recording begins with two about a row that has erupted over local elections and the recent government U-turn. Local elections will go ahead in Norfolk this year after a shock U-turn by government ministers. Steve Reed, local government secretary, announced Norfolk County Council and Norwich City Council votes will take place in May. The decision means the authorities will have about 80 days to prepare for them to go ahead. The change in policy was announced by Mr. Reed, who said he had decided to withdraw his decision to postpone the council elections due to take place in May in light of recent legal advice. In his letter, Mr. Reed said the government will provide up to £63 million in additional capacity funding to the 21 local areas undergoing reorganization across the whole programme, building on the £7.6 million provided for developing proposals last year. Kay Mason Billock, Conservative leader of Norfolk County Council, accused the government of flip-flopping.
And the government has hit back at the leader of Norfolk County Council after she withdrew the authority from the devolution process, accusing her of vile abuse and false accusations. Kay Mason Billig, the Conservative leader at County Hall, has been criticised after she branded the local government secretary, Steve Reed, a two-faced bully. She made the remarks after he reversed his previous decision to cancel this spring's local elections and said they should go ahead after all. Ms. Mason Billig claimed he had earlier threatened to restrict the county's access to funding and to withhold certain powers from the proposed devolved authorities unless she agreed to support a delay in the elections. In response to his U-turn, she announced that her authority would be pulling out of Labour's flagship policy of reorganising local councils and creating a mayor for the region, claiming there would now not be enough time to complete the process. But that decision has enraged the Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government. A source at that department said, "It's both baffling and shocking that a council leader would launch such vile abuse and totally false accusations at a Secretary of State, as she has, by her own admission, never met or spoken to him."
Construction work on a new cafe and visitor centre at a well-used green space has started to take shape. Bricks are being laid at Broadland Country Park by Munnings, the construction company behind the major redevelopment happening at the site. The 57-acre site near Horsford is getting a new cafe and visitor centre, which will have indoor and outdoor seatings and a grab-and-go hatch. The area has two car parks. Both of these are being expanded, creating an extra 45 parking spaces, and a linking pathway is being built between the two. The project has been funded by the Greater Norwich Growth Board, Business Rates and Community Infrastructure Levy, a charge applied by the council. The visitors centre will have dedicated spaces for school groups and visitors with disabilities, and renewable energy systems such as heat pumps and solar panels. The development will create more than 6 acres of new woodland.
Live facial recognition technology will be introduced by the police in Norfolk later this year to help find high-risk individuals. Norfolk Constabulary will use the technology to identify wanted suspects and those legally banned from specific areas. The system compares faces captured on a live camera feed to a predetermined watch list of people considered to pose the greatest risk. The force claims its use of the technology will be intelligence-led, focused on protecting vulnerable people and tackling serious crime. Its system instantly deletes any non-matching facial data, and the watch list is erased following each deployment.
A dog trainer has raised nearly £2,000 for a breast cancer charity through an unusual fundraising idea. Sharon Dingle designed and sold breast-shaped dog training dummies to support Keeping Abreast, a charity that helps women facing reconstruction surgery after cancer. Each dummy sells for £10, with half of the proceeds donated to the Norwich-based charity. Mrs. Dingle was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2025 and underwent surgery in June. Her daughter, Victoria Pegg, became charity manager at Keeping Abreast shortly after her mother's diagnosis, which made Mrs. Dingle more aware of the organization's work supporting women through breast reconstruction process. She works with Labradors and came up with the idea late last year. A family business called Gamekeepers Goods, led by Sam Gould and her daughters, designed the dummies. For more information about Keeping Abreast, visit www.keepingabreast.org.uk or call 01603 819 113.
And finally, the Norwich Playhouse is to be revamped. Long-awaited plans for the transformation of a much-loved theatre are to move a step closer. A planning application has been submitted to Norwich City Council for the redevelopment of the 300-seat Norwich Theatre Playhouse. The idea was first conceived in 2019, but was delayed by the pandemic. Housed in a converted 200-year-old riverside maltings, the playhouse has served as a cultural hub since 1995, hosting a diverse programme of comedy, music, drama, family shows and community events. The proposed refurbishment aims to improve accessibility, environmental sustainability and visitor comfort, while expanding opportunities for community involvement. Key proposals include a passenger lift serving all floors, expanded toilet facilities, and level access throughout public backstage and garden areas. The plans also include replacing outdated systems with energy-efficient alternatives, such as air source heat pumps, where possible, upgrading high-performance insulation, and a new garden space designed for community programming.
We've now arrived at the end of this edition of Chatterbox, and we hope you have enjoyed it. Don't forget the Chatterbox AGM, which will be held on Wednesday, the 18th of March at 2 p.m., and it will be held at St. Andrew's Church Hall, Eton. There are regular buses which stop close by. Everyone is invited, and there will be tea and cakes afterwards. Please let us know if you are coming so we know how many cakes we need to bake. The telephone number to let us know is our usual one and will be read out at the end of the recording.
Did you know that as well as receiving your favourite Chatterbox recordings on memory sticks and via a smart speaker, we are now available as a podcast. Now, a podcast is a whole programme accessed on a smart speaker, smartphone or computer and available when you want to listen. You can listen to all your Chatterbox favourites from the Weekly News, Norfolk Magazine, Chatterround and, of course, Just Talk, simply by opening your podcast app. That could be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube Music, Podbean and so on, and searching for the Chatterbox programme that you would like. Ask for Chatterbox Chatterround to hear conversations with local people. Search for Chatterbox Norfolk for features and regular stories from around the county. Chatterbox Weekly News to bring you all you need to know about the fine city, whilst Chatterbox Just Talk will fill your ears with our regular nonsense and a perplexing quiz. You can activate the subscribe button and be notified whenever a new episode is launched. So join the podcast revolution or tell someone about us, because every listener helps.
Our thanks go to the whole team of over a dozen loyal volunteers who have produced today's edition. The editor was Ian Gorst and the sound recordist was Simon Pitt. If you would like to let us know anything about the items you have heard about today, or if you are coming to the AGM, you can call us on 01603 765 365. That's 01603 765 365. Don't forget to keep listening for our edition of Just Talk, which will follow on now. And with that, it's time to go. We hope you have enjoyed this edition of Chatterbox. So from me, Marianne, and John, it's goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.